Hey everyone, just wanted to say, so the first 6 minutes of our newscast did not record, and so I'm just kind of letting you guys know that it was pretty much Ciara just talking about how she thought Shayna Baszler should be used. I think we all kind of agreed that Baszler being booked in AIW as the new women's champion should be kind of given a Brock Lesnar or Samoa Joe kind of a role. But yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know that's pretty much all you missed. Everything else on the show recorded. Not entirely sure why that happened. But that's technology, so hopefully it doesn't happen again. But thanks again for listening to newscast, and enjoy the rest of the show. Yeah, no, I agree with everything that you just mentioned with that, and I'm going to shoot to Brian. You know, you've mentioned this before also when it came to Shayna Baszler being booked differently, and it always kind of brought back the idea of that in PWG there was that time when Candice LeRae was so popular that we thought, okay, you could put the title on her and people would accept it. So now that AAW has put their women's championship on Shayna Baszler, kind of the same question I asked Ciara, how would you book her?
It's got to be Joe's. You know, Samoa Joe's reign from 2002 to 2003, you got to have that same effect. Almost what Matanz is doing right now, where he's just going out there being dominant, but eventually over time, the wear and tear will eventually get to Shayna Baszler if she keeps defending the title on a constant basis, but AIW only has, like, what, a women's title defense every other month, not every month. Sometimes it's due to travel issues, sometimes it's other things, but I think you can have the title on her for a good year and kind of build this thing up and, like, have the first 6 months of her just destroying people, and then by the end, like, towards the end of the reign, you can see the cracks and the wear and tear, and eventually someone will kind of swoop in and take the title from her. But you can have these awesome matches, like Ciara said, like, build them up. Almost to the point where I think they can, I don't know. You could headline, I think, because she's got this buzz, man, you know, especially right now with the whole Four Horsewomen thing, buddies with Ronda Rousey. And her style is probably the most unique style in all, out of all the women they book in AAW and all the girls' night outs, she seems to have the most unique style and her matches stand out the most, I think. So I saw this coming, like, when she first debuted back in, what was that, Girls Night Out? I think it was earlier in May or something, April. You can tell, like, right off the bat, I was like, there's something totally different about her compared to all of these women wrestlers right now that I'm watching on this show. And I just had that feeling, like, something's going to happen here where, like, she's the one who's the most. I think she had the best match on that show. And I think she's just got to be, like, a Minoru Suzuki, Samoa Joe type and just dominate up until the point where she wears out. And I think that's how you get a booker. And I think she'll be this epic champion that AIW kind of wants and needs, you know? And you really never hear about, like, an AIW title reign. It's more like who they booked this month or what they did in an angle or what Terry Funk did last year, you know? You never really hear about, like, these epic title reigns. And I think AIW will get this notoriety for having this epic title reign by Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of that, with the title reigns, when it comes to the women's title, the last time I remember people going on about the AIW's women's title reign and it being so long was back when Allison Kay was champion. And then, you know, Athena had her run with it. But that belt over the past couple of years, even though there's been some strong champions, has kind of gotten lost. And hopefully with Shayna holding the title, she can take and defend the title out on Cali. You know, there's a lot of girls wrestling in California right now that could benefit from jumping into AIW and being a part of Girls Night Out, which is looking like it's getting kind of a restart where there's a lot of new talent being brought in for each show. And this could help jumpstart it and help really build Shayna as this new dominant force in AIW. And they haven't had that for a couple years. And I want to say, it has to be back towards maybe Allison Kay, Mia Yim's feud. It hasn't been like that since. It's just, I don't know. They kind of lost their way when it came to the women for a while.
Well, hopefully, you know, AAW is kind of interested to see how they have her title reign going forward. I find it interesting that, and I mean, it makes perfect sense that it was that main event. It headlined the show. And you know, we'll just see if John Thorne continues to book it that way. I would encourage everyone to check out John Thorne's AIW podcast. I believe it is here on iTunes. I don't know about Stitcher, but it's generally a fun little podcast to listen to. So, like I said, the bigger news in wrestling over this past week was the Evolve 68 and 69 show with Johnny Gargano leaving, going to WWE, and you know, being a part of the Cruiserweight Classic, also part of the NXT Tag Team Division. And Rich, you reviewed these shows live for the website. I believe you also tweeted them. And why don't you just give us your overall thoughts? People that want your in-depth review can go check it out, pwpunch.com. Based on what you wrote about 68 and 69, 68 was a good show to feed into 69, but which show did you like more, anything like that?
Well, 69 was the far better show, but I think that it was done purposefully. You know, they were building towards Gargano leaving, and they knew that they had the next night to execute some of the things they wanted to make sure they finish up before he left, while still having a solid event. 68, I think, but there were not only was the was the star power a little different, like used differently, but I also feel that the actual heat in the building impacted the way that 68 came off. The arena they ran out of was a wrestling arena actually out there for New York Wrestling Connection, but without air conditioning, and it seems like it was concrete. So all the body heat in that room was affecting the wrestlers, and I'm sure if you watching it live, you could see there were times where when Gulak was chopping Galloway just had this mist going off of him, and that was like 3 minutes into the match. So 69 being held at LaBoom, which is also, even Gabe would admit, it's their Northeast home, and the show, the 68 show, was actually, I would say, in decent traffic, about an hour and a half, usually almost 2 hours traveling time between the venues. And I think that also impacts who shows up to these shows, because they have a hardcore audience that goes to the shows in Queens, but they don't have that same audience out there. I mean, I went to both, but I don't think that's something that everybody would be willing to do. So I think that they purposely made it so that 69 was going to be far better.
68, I'll just run down some of the major results. You had Tracy Williams defeating Dustin, the former Tracy Williams, former Chuck Taylor, by disqualification. And then into a no DQ match, Tracy Williams defeated him again. Tony Nese defeated Matt Riddle and Ricochet. Some of the GIFs that are online, it looks like an insane thing. And then they had a fun little thing at the end of it where Johnny Gargano kind of give, or I believe it was before the match, right, Rich?
Yeah. So before the match, Johnny came out and basically he kind of ignored Ricochet, and he ended up hugging him and apologizing for this. But he was like, you know, Ricochet, you're the president. I don't need to talk to you about this. But he looked at Nese and he looked at Riddle and challenged them to kind of step up and take his spot and be the future of the company.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny. Well, that was kind of the tease of him at the end of 69 giving the torch to Riddle, even though Tony Nese won this match. Drew Galloway defeated Drew Gulak, and then Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Johnny Gargano. So overall, Rich, what did you like about this show?
Well, you know, Nese winning was actually not much of a surprise to me, because he's wrestled for the New York Wrestling Connection, and that was the venue they were being held. So he was kind of like a hometown hero in some ways in that area. So him going over, I didn't think was that shocking there. And it then allowed the next night, and this is, they're almost, it's inextricable, both events. But, you know, having Darby Allin had this whole promo before the weekend that he needed to win one of the two matches he was having so that he could get an Evolve contract. And he ended up almost killing himself again by jumping. There's a platform, kind of the ramp is equal to the ring, which is not constant for a lot of Evolve shows. He actually jumped off of the ramp knee first at Perkins, who was against the post. And Perkins moved out of the way. So Darby Allin legitimately went knee first into that post from the ramp from a good distance. I'd say like a good 5 or 6 feet away. So kind of following up from his last time where he flipped over the ropes and went into the barricade. So his loss there precipitated the need for him to win the next night to get that Evolve contract. So having Nese go over here, I thought it was a smart move, because then you show him as being important. You know, he came away with a victory against Ricochet and Riddle, two of the best that are going right now. And then he ends up losing to Allen the next night. So I thought that was really an effective use of the talent and just making sure that everybody looks strong. For me, as I will admit, I'm a Gargano fan, it was nice during 68 to have him with that proper send-off. He was able to say goodbye, and he even brought Gabe out from the back and gave him a hug in the ring. And then after the event, or as the show was ending, was going around giving high fives to all the fans at ringside. And I didn't understand why he was doing it that night, but you know, it all made sense at the end of 69. So I thought that was a great moment. And at the same time, he lost to Zack Sabre Jr., you know, putting him over before he left. And, you know, Sabre had to work around not being able to work his normal match because of the heat. And I thought that they still put on a really exciting match. So top to bottom, this was a great show. But it really felt like part A with a 14-hour break in the middle.
Which is what you want. You want shows on the weekend to kind of do that. And you're right. Darby Allin defeated Tony Nese. And then it was Joey Styles who presented an Evolve contract to him. And, I mean, hey, one of those little bucket list items, PWP retweeted by Joey Styles. Kind of a nice little thing there.
I would be remiss if I did not mention Ethan Page versus Dan Barry. Dan Barry, who's been appearing on Holy Foley, he actually trains out of that arena, and during the match between him and Paige, he tried to lock up in certain ways, and Paige kept saying that he didn't know any wrestling. They only knew three moves, so Barry tried to give him an impromptu wrestling lesson in the ring, trying to show him how to do a top wrist lock. And at one point, Paige claimed he executed a reversal by putting his foot on the rope. So that was a pretty you know, it served its purpose as a comedic match, and also I think made everybody who was watching 68 not think anything threatening of Paige going into 69.
Right, actually, that makes a lot of sense. So you had Fred Ehy defeat Travis Gordon, Tracy Williams defeat Chuck O'Neill, Dustin defeat Drew Gulak, Ethan Page defeating David Starr. I'm sure that match was probably a lot of fun. David Starr is kind of one of those guys that I enjoy watching. I'm not sure that he's always I don't know how to put this. He's kind of icing on the cake. It's like you see him on a card, awesome, but usually I wouldn't say he's the main reason why you paid for a ticket. But hey, maybe. I'm sure, you know, he has his fans. But then Matt Riddle defeated TJ Perkins, and TJ Perkins signed to WWE. Ricochet defeating Zack Sabre Jr., and then Cody Rhodes and Johnny Gargano defeating Chris Hero and Drew Galloway, which led to, as you mentioned, the craziness at the end of Ethan Page attacking Johnny Gargano. And Rich, I'll just let you talk about that.
Well, first, I have to formally thank Cody Rhodes as he bought pizza for everybody at the event. He basically threw Johnny Gargano a giant pizza party as a going away present for him. So legitimately bought pizza for everybody there. The only thing that I would say I have to call him out on is it ended up being Domino's. We're in New York. You don't order Domino's. But apparently there were some issues getting some local pizzerias to be able to produce that much pizza for the event. So they weren't able to do it. So at the end of the match, actually, right before the end, Codes had the American Nightmare locked on and on Hero, and then Gargano was able to lock in the Gargano Escape. Eventually, Rhodes jumped off to fend off Galloway and keep him out of the picture, and then Gargano ended up making Hero tap. And then things went completely haywire. And everything from 68 ended up making sense. You know, in the week leading up to the event, there was a video released by Evolve that was an anonymous video about somebody who was saying that basically they were going to get, you know, they were going to get after Gargano and he was going to get revenge on Gargano. So we had no idea who it was going up to that. Some people actually were asking Ethan Page on Twitter, and he completely denied it and said that his videos are far better than that, and he never produced that low quality kind of video. So Gargano picks up the mic, and just as he picks up the mic, Paige, you know, Pearl Harbors him from behind, takes him down, and then basically goes on a tirade about how the entire thing was a ruse. This entire time, he has not really been trying to get Gargano's forgiveness, that he was just putting one over on everybody, and that Gargano was just too damn smart, couldn't just accept it, and that, you know, Paige was basically taking over the farewell, and that nobody would ever forget this moment, and that Gargano would never forget this moment, and Paige was going to be a star moving forward. He brought out two heavies from the back to watch his back as he just kept lacing into Gargano. And then Riddle walks in. Well, at first, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Paige offers Gargano's prone body to anybody who wants to come out. So out walk Galloway and Dustin, and they actually take the ring apron off, and they lay it over Gargano, and as they're posing, Riddle comes out. And now, the night before at 68, Galloway had asked Riddle, and this is not the first time, but Galloway has basically made comments that Riddle should be joining him in saving Evolve. So he does the same thing at 68, but he was cut off by Gulak, which started their match. So last night, at 69, Riddle comes out, and once for the final time, Galloway implores him, even gets down on one knee and offers his hand, and then Riddle kicks him in the side of the head, takes him out, and helps Gargano up. And then what I thought was really amazing was Gargano then basically thanked him, said to Riddle that, you know, he really thinks that Riddle could be the guy to take his spot, and he's passing the torch to him, and then he passed the mic off. He didn't say goodbye. He didn't, you know, get his moment in the sun right before he left. He gave it all to Riddle, and Riddle kept it short and sweet. But he did proclaim that Evolve is bro. And I think we have a brand new era moving forward. You have, you know, Paige as the heel here, and you know you have the heat that Gargano's leaving. Riddle's gonna try to hopefully step up, and take Paige out and kind of fight a little bit in Gargano's honor. You still have issues because earlier in the night when Gulak was taken advantage of by Dustin Galloway, you never had the rest of Catchpoint didn't come out to help. So before the TJP Riddle match, Gulak actually called both of them out on it. Stokely said that since TJP was leaving, he wasn't going to get involved in anything, and Riddle said he just wanted to fight TJP. But you saw that there was some kind of heat left there. So you have a lot of options going out of this event. I mean, I think a lot – and this is all without Timothy Thatcher there.
Right, yeah, no, it should be interesting to see what Thatcher does on his way back. I mean, the videos that have been done by Ken Johnson for WM Live, I think, have been pretty awesome. So anyone who hasn't seen them, you should go out of your way. Go check those out. But yeah, Rich, any other thoughts? Obviously, other than apparently you recommend buying both of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a 1-2 package. If you had to, you know, only pick one, I'd pick 69. I thought what was really nice to see was the way Gargano, you know, and they talked about all weekend how he was really a WWN icon and how much he did to put them on the map and specifically also Evolve on the map. I think that shows and kind of shines through what he did this weekend. You know, LaBoom is really the place where they've had the most success in this area. You know, the Brooklyn shows didn't have the same kind of turnout or vibe that this show, the LaBoom shows, usually do. And to have his farewell go on the 68th, at the 68th show and not the 69th show where it's really their home, I think is kind of a testament to the sacrifice he's made and apparently somehow is continuing to make for that company, you know, when he really could have, with his star power, said, no, you know, it's my last show and I want to do it at LaBoom and I want to say goodbye to the fans there. And that's not what he did. He literally handed the torch over and let the spotlight be all on Riddle as he walked out and didn't make it about himself. And I think that's what made that show so that's what made the whole weekend so amazing, that he was willing to make it about the company and not about himself.
Brian, all three stage trailers for the PWG Bola shows are out now. Lots of fun footage of Riddle, and seeing him live and him obviously going to be the face of WN Live or Evolve going forward. Any thoughts on this, and any thoughts on Johnny Gargano being gone from, well, WN Live?
I mean, that's the smart decision. You can tell that Gabe was kind of building up Matt Riddle in this spot for a long time. Not even, I mean, ever since he debuted back last November, whatever it was, you can kind of see the seeds being planted, especially with every match, you know. And especially now that Gargano's gone, and it's great for him. And we all, I mean, it's, we've seen the writing on the wall for months now. We've just been waiting for the official goodbye. So it's not like this was like this big emotional farewell, I feel. I feel like we've all kind of had time to like say goodbye. I actually said my goodbyes to Gargano back in like March or something for PWG. And then he kept, you know, chugging along with this whole Evolve thing. So it's great that they finally gave him the send off. And Matt Riddle, man, you got to build the company around him. He is the guy. He fits that style so well, that hybrid style. He comes from that MMA background. He's a G. Seeing him against Kyle O'Reilly was unbelievable, seeing how far he's come in the last 6-8 months, you know, and you got to put the title on him. And the fact that Thatcher wasn't there and all the buzz was around by, putting the torch to Matt Riddle, you kind of think that, like, Thatcher kind of got lost in the whole weekend, even though he wasn't there. But it kind of speaks to the fact that Thatcher's title reign has kind of become, you know, sidelined almost into the background out of all the Evolve storylines, it feels. And this was the perfect transition. And now you just got to put the title on Matt Riddle, like, now. I don't know if it's now, but maybe use Ethan Page as kind of like this transitional, you know, champion, this heel champion that, because I kind of figured this whole thing with Ethan Page was going to lead to him kind of maneuvering his way, so to speak, into a title shot, being humble about it, you know, and then just turning heel at the end and then just screwing everyone over, winning the title. But they kind of like did I don't know if this was supposed to be the plan the whole time, to have him go. I mean, obviously he was going to beat up Johnny Gargano eventually, but I didn't know it was going to be on his last show. So I kind of expect Ethan Page to kind of have this this thing about getting a title shot. He's going to be the guy to beat Thatcher, and then you set up this thing where Matt Riddle takes the title from heel Ethan Page. So it kind of set that up, I feel, and that's what I kind of see where it's going to go. So Matt Riddle is going to be the guy, and, I mean, you got to put this, like, epic title, not title run, but this, like, journey to the title, I feel. Maybe kind of separate him a little bit from Catch Point, kind of make him his own thing. Because, I mean, Catch Point's, what, 4 or 5 guys. And people forget that, like, this what might be Perkins' last weekend, too. And he kind of got lost in Gargano's farewell. So I thought that was kind of – that kind of sucked for Perkins, unless he is coming back for a few more shows. But because, I mean, he might actually be on Raw in 2 weeks, for all we know, along with Johnny Gargano. So that can be completely awesome.
He will be, actually. That was Perkins' last show. The match with Riddle was his last match. He even tweeted out something like, you know, if it's my last match, I'm glad it was, you know, it was a great one with Riddle. But they even Stokely threw him like a going away party. He brought out 2 ladies with some wine and some fake money. And TJP did snow angels on the mat in the fake money as that segment ended.
Tremendous.
That's awesome. Ciara, any thoughts on Matt Riddle, Gargano, anything like that?
No, I actually totally agree with what you guys are saying, and it's crazy that there's going to be so many people missing from Evolve going forward and going getting signed, and especially after this Cruiserweight Classic. And Matt Riddle, from all the signs that I'm seeing, it's time to capitalize on this guy. He might be, you know, the new next future that is waiting to boom on the indies, and they better, you know, make him their champion and go forward with it before somebody else does.
Yeah, we'll be talking about people that are signed to WWE right now, especially with all the talk about Roderick Strong that happened on the internet today. But first off, WSU Resurgence 2, this happened also this past weekend. And, you know, like I said, check out the results. You had Jordynne Grace defeating Annie Social, Mercedes Martinez defeating Deonna Purrazzo, the Sinister Sweethearts defeating Nevaeh and Priscilla Kelly. The Fella Twins defeating Casey Spinelli and Zandra Bale to retain their WSU tag titles. Taylor Hendricks defeated Kiara Hogan. Leva Bates defeating Sue Young to retain her Spirit title. And then Cherry Bomb defeating Mia Yim to retain her WSU World title. Kind of funny that both of those women are on Impact Wrestling. And Ciara, any thoughts on that? I mean, WSU obviously I doubt that anything that happens at Impact Wrestling affects this booking, but I thought that was an interesting little note for the main event.
Well, it's definitely interesting, especially since Cherry Bomb is, you know, the current Knockouts champion, and Mia Yim is the former, and they kind of have that storyline going on television. You know, Allie, who we're being told on Impact is not a wrestler, but somehow she won a title.
Didn't she lose it to Maria already? Like, they had her lay down for her?
I don't know. I haven't watched Impact since then, and I think it's...
Spoiler.
I just think that, honestly, if anybody from TNA is listening, Painted, this... They're not a wrestler, but all of a sudden they can do wrestling moves. Storylines have got to stop. We shot our load when you guys had that referee going against Daivari, y'all. Just stop.
Oh, my God, that happened.
Like, just stop. Like, that was cute in 2007. It's 2016. We can't keep having the Knockouts division being full of, like, terrible storylines like this. Like, you're having a storyline where Maria Kanellis, who's a former WWE diva, went and found all these girls that were great wrestlers off the independents, and we see them on Knockouts Knockdown. And then a couple weeks later, you're trying to tell me the chick that I seen on Knockouts Knockdown that was great at wrestling can't wrestle all of a sudden. Like, you're giving me too many stories that don't make sense, and you can't really market this division like that if you're going to keep having these bad storylines. Like, we had Terrence Rell go from being a referee to a wrestler. We've got to stop these storylines. But yeah, that's actually interesting. I don't think it's going to have any interference there. My interest in this is what they're going to do with Mercedes Martinez, since this was her first time being in WSU for a couple of years. And the last time she was there, I want to say it was her against Lufisto when they were feuding, and Mercedes left and stopped doing business at WSU and went into a hiatus. So I'm actually interested in how she's going to get back in the title picture and who they're going to have her feud with. And from the looks of it, the way they're building up Soo Young and these promotions, Soo Young might be a main eventer before we even know it.
Good to know. Yeah, well, I'm sure you'll have that in a future Ring Bells Roundup, which I hear may be coming back to the website. We'll see what happens. The other big show that happened this past weekend, CZW Down with the Sickness. It was on iPay-Per-View. Three of the big takeaways, three of the things that I liked on the show: Ricky Shane Page defeated Sammy Callahan. Actually, I guess four things. Shane Strickland defeated Desmond Xavier, which apparently people are raving about online. And then Jonathan Gresham is your new CZW World Heavyweight Champion. He defeated Greg Excellent, Joe Gacy, and Matt Tremont in a four-way boards of nails, carpet, striped panes of glass death match. And then Joey Janela defeated Leo Rush to win the Wire title in a ladder match. Obviously, I believe the Chris Cash Memorial ladder match. And I guess this kind of ties things up, because you have Leo Rush, who a lot of people are wondering about. You know, he has his ties to Ring of Honor, but he was still Wire champion, but then he left. Or he didn't wrestle for them for a while, so how is that going to work out? But really, for me, guys, the big story, Jonathan Gresham, CZW World Heavyweight Champion. Brian, Jonathan Gresham screams CZW to you, right?
Yeah, why not? I mean... They've had a variety of different world champions, good, bad, and indifferent. So you never know. Maybe they can do, like, because usually sometimes they'll put the title on a wrestler, you know what I mean, and have, like, wrestling matches for their title matches sometimes. So hopefully this will be one of those world title runs where they just have straight-up wrestling matches, even though he won the title in a death match. Because Jonathan Gresham, come on, we know he's not a death match wrestler. Come on. Come on.
He was an ROH wrestler who should have been with that company, but... Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Rich, do you have any thoughts on this? Jonathan Gresham being the CZW World Champion?
It's just another example of a guy who should have been pushed more by ROH when they had their claws in him. But, you know, he doesn't come off as Brian was saying, he doesn't come off as the normal CZW World Champion. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. And, you know, I think that he really has the potential to be a star, and this title reign, I think, will kind of show up what he's made of.
Hopefully. Well, speaking of guys that Ring of Honor should have retained, let's get into kind of the news section portion of this. Roderick Strong, a lot of copy and paste sites right now are saying that he is officially signed. I don't know why all of a sudden all this talk happened. A lot of people in the background have been saying that he was signed for about a month now. But no site that I follow, you know, like The Torch, Wrestling.net, or The Observer have mentioned this as anything official. But, you know, I mean, obviously it's an eventuality. Most people thought that was going to happen. Giving credit to Sean Radican over at The Torch, you know, we have Cedric speaking of the Cruiserweight Classic, you have Cedric Alexander signed, Grand Metalik, TJ Perkins, Lince Dorado, Noam Dar, Jack Gallagher, obviously Johnny Gargano and Ciampa and Swan. Apparently, there are still negotiations between Tozawa. Different reports on Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr. I believe Meltzer is saying that Ibushi and Sabre are not signing with them, but that obviously they're still being talked to. And then The Torch is reporting that Ibushi has actually signed. Lots of mixed things with that. And then Roderick Strong as well. It's all kinds of it's confusing at this point. And then of course Tommy End was, you know, reportedly signed a while ago. And then if anyone was wondering about what those sanity vignettes were, it's apparently Big Damo and a few other wrestlers, possibly Tommy End being one of those wrestlers. And then you know, I was talking to Radican, and he was saying that the thing with Sabre Jr. is actually things that Fit Finlay and William Regal have said openly that they're not high on Zack Sabre's style. They think he's kind of apparently soft, which is weird given that whole little thing that happened between Miz and Daniel Bryan recently. But the two are not related. I'm just saying that it's interesting. But yeah, Sierra, you know, you kind of brought this up. Any thoughts, I mean, on these guys that are being signed, and you were talking about how different the indie scene is going to look?
Yeah, it's interesting with the whole Sabre and Ibushi thing, because there's so many people saying that, oh, this guy is signing, and then there's other people saying, no, he's not signed. Or, you know, there's so many stories, and no one is actually saying, like, definitely if it's they are signed, not signed. And I think it also goes with everybody involved in this tournament. There's so many rumors going around about this guy might be signed or this guy is not going to be signed. It's so many rumors flying around. No one knows what is actually the truth. And plus with the, you know, we all know that the Cruiserweight division is going to be on Raw in a couple weeks. It kind of makes you wonder, like, who are we actually going to see? Are we going to see all of them? Are we going to just see a few of them? Because they're making it sound like they're going to be not just bringing just a couple of guys out of the tournament. They might be bringing in some other guys that they've had their eye on. And the indie scene is changing dramatically with the way WWE is signing up guys left and right. And I also would like to say that I think fans' interaction on the internet and watching these guys and seeing a lot of these incredible performers and yelling at WWE or in your promotion saying, hey, you need to sign these guys, they have helped a lot of these guys get picked up all of a sudden. And then you got guys signing with New Japan. It's just getting bare. Like, everybody is getting picked up, and it's crazy.
Yeah, no, I believe that I want to say, I know that I heard it on The Observer, but I think also Pressing.net reported that the idea would be they would bring up guys to Raw for matches, but then they're not just going to tour with Raw. They're going to give them other matches as well, so that they're not just on, like, the Raw house shows. They might be on the NXT house shows as well, all that kind of stuff, which apparently I'm going to go to NXT in Sacramento, so yay for me. But yeah, you know, actually, Brian, you know, you've gotten to see a lot of these guys in PWG leave, and PWG, that's going to look pretty different too by the time the Cruiserweights are on Raw.
Yeah, I find it interesting in regards to the whole Ibushi Sabre thing. Like, those are the top two guys that everyone had picked to win the thing, and yet those are the two guys who are like, isn't he or is he not? Is he going to sign or he is signed? No, he's not. I find that kind of weird. I think I get this feeling that, like, people in the company are putting out two different stories on both guys, whether or not they both signed, to give that kind of mystery leading into the final. Because once we know whoever one of those two is signed, it's like, okay, that's probably going to be the winner. You could do Mascara Dorada or Grand Metalik, I'm sorry, win the whole thing too. But because he is signed, from what I heard, like, that's for sure.
He is.
Yeah. So I think it's just kind of interesting that I think that we're kind of being played, you know what I mean? Just for the finals, so we don't know really who we can really predict going into the final. It's still up in the air between the four guys right now. Had we got a definite yes or no from Ibushi or Sabre, then I think we would have had our favorite. But in this case, with the whole mystery of who's signing and whatnot, it's still up in the air. So I think that kind of plays into it a little bit. So if anything, it's kind of like a positive for the fans going in, because it adds a little bit more mystery and intrigue going into the semifinals and the final this Wednesday. Like, I didn't even know Big Damo. That was news to me just now. I thought that vignette was for Crazy Marie Dobson. But that's even better if you got a stable with, like, Tommy End and Big Damo.
It could be her, too. Could be. Think of that. Crazy Mary Dobson, Tommy End, and Big Damo. Oh. That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. Like, them against the Revival would be something else, man. But, yeah, in terms of, like, who's getting signed, I mean, the game is definitely – I mean, the feel is definitely going to change. Roderick Strong, I mean, we all knew about Roderick Strong a month ago with the whole PWG booking. But at the end, I mean, that was so obvious. I thought – how could anyone kind of feel this is news by now? I mean, we all knew. I kind of heard on the down low about the Tommy End thing, which made sense with the finale of PWG and with, you know, Cedric Alexander, Tommy End, and God, who was the third guy? I can't even remember now. Shit. There was a third guy in that ring on PWG night three. But they were all saying their goodbyes, basically. So it's going to be awesome. NXT really needs some new talent right now with the draft kind of like taking some big-time talent away from them. This will be a good kind of like refresher, kind of a restart, and hopefully we can get some more challengers for Nakamura, because I can't think of anything right now except like Bobby Roode and Samoa Joe. And I am going to that NXT Hollywood show, by the way, which is going up against Hell in a Cell at the same time. So who knows what the hell WWE's doing. Did you see pictures of their SmackDown house show tonight where it's like 1,000 people?
I saw some of the photos online. That's kind of...
They got to figure the stuff out, because if they're gonna have like head to head against a pay per view, because I was just telling my friend, like, yeah, we're gonna go to this house show, and we're gonna miss Kevin Owens probably in a Hell in a Cell match or something, and I'm like, yeah, it is what it is, but we get to see Nakamura, so NXT is kind of a draw, and the fact that, you know, all this fresh talent is gonna be in there. Hopefully we'll see all this fresh talent next month. That'd be kind of dope at the house shows in Hollywood to see like Tommy End. On an NXT house show, that'd be something else. So I'm excited. But the landscape is going to change. And this will give more opportunities for more guys, I think, from, like, you know, Beyond and some of the guys that don't get a lot of love in Chikara. You know, like, they will finally get some bookings and different promotions to get more of a spotlight to kind of fill in those spots, you know. But if you look at, like, AAW right now, they seem to just do no wrong. And even with the guys leaving, I think their shows are still going to be just packed with Lucha Underground talent and the occasional European talent coming in. So I think even though a lot of people are going, I think the indies will still be thriving, just because it gives a lot of more, you know, opportunities for talent to rise up to the occasion. And some other companies won't be affected by it at all. I mean, Evolve's going to be really, really affected by it, obviously, but PWG is going to recover. AAW is going to recover. AIW is just going to be their own little thing in the Midwest, so they really have a lot of talent invested that are going to get signed. So I think we're all going to be fine. I think we're going to be fine.
Rich, any thoughts on some of these names that are getting signed and what the indie scene is going to look like after it's all done?
Well, you know, I think that it's a great thing, obviously, for these talents, and I agree with everybody. I mean, I feel that it's giving opportunity to people who may not have gotten it because they had these other stars around. And, you know, I think Evolve's a good example, you know, with Riddle and Paige kind of both being passed the torch by Gargano as he's leaving there, giving them a chance to develop. You know, Sabre Jr. not getting signed was interesting. He actually, during the 68 event, said that one of the things he had in his life was to wrestle in New Japan and wrestle for a big company out there, and that now that he finally was able to do that, he's focusing on the American independent scene, you know. And with the relationship that Evolve has with WWE, you know, Sabre Jr. could just keep working in Evolve shows for a while and then eventually go up to WWE no matter what, you know. And I think that Riddle is a guy that WWE has their eyes on, and this next part of his journey will be something that they'll be watching closely, because he straddles that line in some ways, you know, with being a former UFC fighter, of that realistic vibe. And I think that's something that they really want as part of their company. So I think, you know, and TJP also leaving Evolve is definitely going to hurt. But then, you know, you also had Darby Allin emerge as somebody who the crowd was really behind at 69. And I think that all of these crowds that go see these independent shows love the companies as much as they love the wrestlers. And their support won't waver. I don't think that attendance numbers will drop and people won't lose interest because they'll just find that next guy that they want to support.
Absolutely. We've gone through this cycle many, many times, and the indie scene will always survive. So, but yeah, so other than that, you know, some big shows coming up this weekend. AAW, as Brian mentioned, they have a crazy show. Abyss versus Sami Callihan, Matt Riddle versus Jeff Cobb, Drew Gulak versus Josh Alexander, Chris Hero versus Phoenix, the Besties of the World versus Ohio is for Killers, Kimberly and Heidi Lovelace going up against the Hooligans. We have Trevor Lee, Andrew Evick, and Jack Evans going up against AR Fox, Desmond Xavier, and Moose. And then Ray Horace versus Prince Ali. This is going to be a crazy show. It's happening happening on Friday. And hopefully we'll have results. Well, I mean, we'll have results on the website. Obviously, Jerome won't be going to it unless he flies back from China. Maybe. Who knows? But probably not. AIW, they announced for the whole shebang, which is Johnny Gargano's last show with AIW on September 23rd. There's going to be a special T-shirt design on sale for that one night only. So anyone who's there who's lucky enough to go, grab me a shirt. Come on. Do something nice. But they announced Johnny Gargano versus Candice LeRae in a 2 out of 3 falls match. So that's kind of fun. Two big Ring of Honor Reloaded tour shows are taking place in Pittsburgh and in Lockport, New York. We'll have results of both those on the website. The one in Pittsburgh has Adam Cole, the Ring of Honor champion, the Young Bucks versus Jay Lethal, Colt Cabana, and Dalton Castle. Christopher Daniels versus Jay White, Kamei Tachi versus Alex Shelley, Frankie Kazarian versus Chris Sabin, Will Ferrara versus ACH. And the show in Lockport has Colt Cabana and Dalton Castle in the main event versus Jay and Mark Briscoe. Christopher Daniels versus Chris Sabin and Matt Jackson. Frankie Kazarian versus Alex Shelley and Nick Jackson. Obviously, the tag division kind of getting some single matches in there. The Cabinet, Rich's favorite gimmick, going up against ACH, Jay White, and Leo Rush. Kamei Tachi versus Jonathan Gresham. And then, get this, a Women of Honor tag team match. Deonna Purrazzo and Mandy Leone versus Taylor Hendricks and Jessica Havoc. So a lot of fun there. Should be a good show. And Ciara, before we get off here, I actually wanted to ask you this because looking up the show for the Queens of Combat that is taking place on this Friday on the 16th is Queens of Combat 14. The main event, Sue Young versus Nikki Savoy. And Nikki Savoy is someone that, I mean, you've been talking about her for a while, and I think people are finally taking notice of her. That's one heck of a number one contenders match, and as a main event for the whole show.
Yeah, Nicole Savoy in the past year, it's kind of crazy. When I discovered her a couple years ago, and I kept saying, "Who's this girl that she's been wrestling for a couple years?" Never heard much talk about her, and a couple years later, she's in Shimmer, she's in AIW, she's literally everywhere. And it's crazy, and she's kind of gotten in. There's like a list of, I guess every women's wrestling fan has a list of women's wrestlers that are just so good in the ring and can go, and she's on that list already. Among, you know, the Mercedes Martinez, your cheerleader Melissa's, your Lufisto's, she's gotten up there. And this past year watching her has been incredible, because she's just, every time she gets in that ring, she goes. And Sue Young, like I mentioned earlier, her evolution into this character, I have no idea what Sue Young is supposed to be. She looks like she's a zombie bride, or I don't know. No one's actually explained what happened to Sue Young when she disappeared with Saraya Knight that one time at Shine. And her evolution into this character and her in-ring has really stepped up, and she's been having really, really good matches. And I think her match against Madison Eagles, maybe a couple shines ago, really made people go, you know what, let's pay attention to this, because Sue Young is changing. And ever since then, she's really came into form. And I think everybody's loving this gimmick. She's debuted in WSU and been doing great there, especially, you know, she's hanging around Chrissy Rivera, who's put together a stable there now, which is cool that they're getting back into that game in WSU. And now she's making Queens of Combat, and she's going against the current Heart of Shimmer champion, Nicole Savoy. And that one, if anybody gets to see that this weekend, I'm sure that's going to be one that everybody's going to be talking about. And other promotions are going to follow suit and put those two together.
For sure. So look forward to results from that show as well on the website. And before we get out of here, I just have to mention this. Brian, do you know what match you're getting? Well, actually, it's semi-close to you in Torrance. Have you heard about the Pentagon Jr. versus RVD match?
Yes, I did. But I don't know if it'll actually happen.
Right.
Knowing booking around... Man, because it seems like every time there's like a booking with like a Pentagon Jr. or some really big lucha star around here, something goes awry and the guy doesn't show up or something happens. So I'm hesitant. I know it's like on a – is it on like a Thursday or something?
Yeah, it takes place – I don't know if it's on a Thursday. It takes place on November 12th.
Oh, wait. I might not be in town now that I think about it.
Well, that's a shame.
Because we're planning a Vegas trip, me and my homies, and we want to go during the UFC weekend in New York so we can play some bets. And that happens to be the same night as UFC and MSG, so maybe that's why they got a big card in that in Torrance.
Right? So
but
the only way that's going to happen.
I might be watching UFC that night, but we'll see. You never know. You never know.
Could be a lot of fun. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for checking us out. Why don't we get some plugs? Rich, I'll go to you first. What do you have coming up?
All right, so check me out usually on Wednesdays. You have your Ring of Honor television review and also any VODs that are coming out. You can also follow me on Twitter over at Rich_Laconi. And you can also check out the podcast. I do a Running Wild podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you find your podcasts.
Ciara, what do you have coming up?
What I have coming up is, geez, I don't know. I'm trying to get back in the swing of doing a roundup. I actually miss doing it. Believe that. I miss being in the realm of women's wrestling and being drove crazy. Yeah. So I've been working on that. I got another project going on, and I actually can't reveal it yet until forever knows. But hopefully... myself and Jen get to do another Bitch Musings because we recorded it. I was ready to have it posted and the podcast wouldn't work. So yeah, hopefully we get to make our second episode. It gets recorded fine and we get it uploaded and then we can go back and redo that episode. And yeah, until then, you guys can find me on Twitter at CIARA92189.
And Brian, what do you have going on, man?
More card stuff, I guess. But by the time y'all listen to this, I'll probably be officially out. I'm like less than 10 sets or something like that. I got to calculate. But yeah, thanks for all the support, you guys. It's been awesome. And I'm sorry for all the people that couldn't get sets and all. I mean, very, very limited. And I know people were hitting me up all over. Let me see what I can do. Maybe I can hook some people up. I know I got to hook some people on this website up too still. So don't worry, I got you guys covered. But other than that, you might have to go on eBay and go crazy. But you never know. Some sponsors of our website who contribute a lot and we have links to on the site might actually reprint them. I can't officially say, but that's a hint right there. So keep an eye out for your monthly boxes. That's all I got to say.
Boom.
Hit me up on Twitter, Brian DeBrain, DA, not the. And if you want to talk about pop culture, wrestling, you know, all kinds of stuff, I just watched the last Battle of Atlanta. If you want to talk about old school wrestling, I just watched the first two episodes of The Flash. You can hear my strange thoughts about The Flash pilot. If you want some graphic design work done, hit me up. Check out the store, pwponderings.com/store, and check out the design stuff and help support the website and whatnot. And yeah, that's about it for now. I'm kind of burnt out on Photoshop, but you keep going. And I think my next PWG project will be a Japanese poster of a PWG show.
There you go. Sounds like a lot of fun. Thank you again, everyone. If you can, please leave a 4- or 5-star review on iTunes and Stitcher. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, continue to use High Spots, our Amazon links, all that stuff up on the website, and visit our sponsors. And we will talk to you again real soon.
Peace.